Come, Heverim. In previous messages, I silhouetted the recent historic fact of the restoration of Medinat Yisrael, the State of Israel, against the golden glow of our ancient predictive scripture prophecy. In this, my third address of this series, I am to substantiate the postulation of my previous message by selecting a salient in Israel's colorful history. A salient which, like some giant mountain pinnacle, stabs the historic skyline with dominating emphasis and refuses disregard. Having selected our unchallengeable historic pinnacle, I aim to illumine the sky immediately behind it with the Shekhinah brilliancy of equally unchallengeable divine predictive prophecy, thus conducting the attestation into willing acceptance and paving the way for our consideration of the prophecies of Yechezkiel, Ezekiel, in future messages. The nation of Israel came to life in the comforting crib of divine love, safeguarded and canopied by the priceless patrimony of precious promise. Listen to these delicate words of God regarding Israel. The Eternal did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all peoples, but because the Eternal loved you. This tender divine love was chaperoned by the most lavish and generous divine promises, which I can best epitomize by one quotation from the 28th chapter of Devarim, that is Deuteronomy, as translated by Isaac Lisa. And it shall come to pass, if thou wilt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Eternal thy God, that the Eternal thy God will set thee highest above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Do please read for yourselves the record of these precious promises. Indeed, it will materially aid your better understanding of this message if you will examine the whole 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. At this juncture, it occurs to me that some of my gracious auditors may wish to inquire why the Eternal God called the nation of Israel and presented it with such a glorious prospect. In anticipation of any such reasonable interrogation, I gladly advance some of the divine intentions. In a world that had departed from pristine divine revelation, and, losing its former knowledge of the one true God, had devolved into polytheism, that is, the worship of many gods, Israel was called to restore to humanity the lost divine disclosure that the God of Israel is the one God of the whole creation, and beside him there is no God. Moreover, Israel was to rescue the world from the peril of pantheism and declare the personality and holiness of the Godhead. Obviously, a faithful performance of this divinely inaugurated missionary enterprise on the part of the nation of Israel was to be attended by God-bestowed spiritual and material national blessings and prosperity as a manifest demonstration that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Israel was also to be the divine menorah, that is, candlestick, shining forth the oracles of divine revelation to whole mankind. And lastly, but certainly chiefly, Israel was to be the tree of God, from which would shoot the branch, HaMashiach, the Messiah, HaGoel HaOlam, the Redeemer of the world. Admittedly, Israel's patrimony of promise was priceless. But remember that the divine purpose was priceless too. Indeed, so precious was God's purpose through Israel that Israel's patrimony was accompanied by a grave and solemn premonition. Let me quote these warning words. And if notwithstanding this, ye will not hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, then will I also walk contrary unto you in fury, and I, even I, will chastise you sevenfold for your sins. Thus far, my friends, we have seen God's purpose, Israel's prospects, and Israel's premonition. Now, for a moment, let us look at Israel's performance. The history of Israel, as recorded in the Tanakh, a book erroneously designated the Old Testament, is, as Niebuhr frankly admits, completely free of what he calls national patriotic falsehood. It is, in this respect at least, an unique history, albeit a very sad one. It is a divine mirror, providing a faithful reflection of national failure. Israel's national performance was a poor one indeed, and brought the people into a long, long, dark night of sorrows. Believe me, I recoil from drawing you into the darkness. Yet if together we are to emerge into the bright prophetic promise of rest and peace for the beloved people and land of Israel, you must come bravely with me through the night of sorrows. The divine chastisements fell successively upon the nation until in the year 70 of the common era the prophesied climax was reached when the Roman general Titus destroyed our temple in Jerusalem and set in motion the ghastly galut, the diaspora, the scattering, the dispersion of Israel among the nations of the world. It will be tragically easy, therefore, to select our specimen historic salient. The dreaded galut will be our pinnacle of history, for here commenced Israel's long, dark, tragic, stateless trek down the ages of time and along the winding, troubled, thorny roads of the nations of the world. If we could employ the tears of Israel's galut as a solvent to concentrate into one gargantuan pain stab, the anguish of but the 6 million Jewish people who perished under Hitler hate, and if by hypodermic we could introduce the resultant solution into the veins of the world, there would be enough concentrated agony in this one single solitary injection to make the whole globe writhe in pain for centuries to come. Do you now inquire if this long night of Israel's anguish can be silhouetted against the illuminating background of prior divine predictive prophecy? I answer unhesitatingly that it can. Indeed, that is just the feature of attestation I am now forced to choose. Hear these selected pronouncements from Vayikra, that is, Leviticus, chapter 26, and from Devarim, that is, Deuteronomy, chapter 28. They are like the ominous beat of some reverberating drum of doom. And I will render your cities a waste, and I will surely make desolate the land, and you will I scatter among the nations. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, and there shall not be any rest for the sole of thy foot. Let me affirm strongly that the galut was a definite mark of the divine displeasure upon Israel nationally, not necessarily upon Israelites individually. And it is folly to deceive ourselves with specious human theories to the contrary. Let us face the facts. Moreover, it is none other than our great and blessed prophet Moses, who foretold inter alia this long galut and the agony of it. How happy I am to conclude this message by yielding to the tender impulse within me of giving you this premature assurance of comfort that this same mantling and predicted night of sorrow is itself, yes, itself, the evidence and certainty of the roseate and equally predicted dawn of joy. Yes, my friends, surely, joy cometh in the morning. Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'ir Adonai panav elecha v'hunecha, Yisar Adonai panav elecha v'yaseim laha shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.